Blog Talk Radio.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
God in the Midst, Get 'Em Radio presents Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, "In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." The Word of God is a gold mine. If you enjoy mining for gold nuggets in the Word of God, this broadcast is for you. The Lord has gifted Dr. Lorraine Nabarro to uncover hidden treasures in the Bible that will delight you as he reveals a different perspective of his word. So get your pick and shovel, turn your mining hat light on, and let's dig into the Word of God.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Hello, and welcome to God in the Midst Radio. My name is Dr. Lorraine Nabarro, and this is Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Today, we're going to look at Thankful for Adversity. Let's open with a word of prayer. Gracious everlasting God, we are grateful for this time in your word. Father, we are grateful that you are so aware of everything that touches us, everything concerning us, and that it is well. Thank you, Father God, as we gather around your word, we draw strength, we draw comfort, we draw insight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that today we will see more clearly your plan for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess I need to do a little explaining. This is the month of November, and that is a time people's hearts turn to thankfulness. And so I thought we're going to do something very different this month. We are going to be thankful the whole month, but we're going to look at some things that a lot of times it becomes difficult for us to be thankful for. Things that many times, while we may be grateful how things turn in the end, we have trouble being thankful. So today we're going to start with thankful for adversity. And we will see that we will end up going from adversity to anointing, from grief to glory. But we will get there. But first we got to look at the adversity. You know, a lot of times we can be grateful where we end up, but at the beginning we have difficulty finding that place of thanksgiving. And there are so many places for all these in the Bible. What I'm going to try to do this month is pick one place, maybe mention another, where we can see how these things play out and that it might give us courage, strength, and joy. So today, for Thankful for Adversity, we're going to turn to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1, and that pretty much covers the bulk of what we have. Chapter 2, if you look at it, is a song of thanksgiving. But we have to get through chapter 1 before we can get to chapter 2. That's the way it is in life. So we find, as the book of Samuel opens, that there was a certain man, and he had two wives. The first wife, which of course would have been the senior wife, Hannah, it says that he loved her. And the name of the other was Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah had no children. That's verse 2. And this man went up out of his city every year to worship, to sacrifice the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, we remember that the prophet Eli and his two nefarious sons, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord there. And so a lot of times we think that, you know, oh, if I had more support, if I had better pastoring, if I had better, you know, spiritual counsel, well, God can do anything in spite of people. This is a thing when it'd be nice if people did what they should do, but even if they don't, God is still God. Amen? So the wives, okay, so we'll look at verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Penina, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters portions. But unto Hannah, he gave a worthy portion or a better portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. So she had been the first wife and he had loved her. I'm kind of reinterpreting it, having lived in societies that are polygamous. I can understand this. He loved Hannah. She had no children. He second wife, Penina, whom, while, you know, he may have been fond of, he doesn't say he loved her. And she had many children. And but Hannah was barren. And so this is how this situation opens up. And so far, it's just an unhappy situation. But it goes beyond unhappy to adversity. And let's look at this. Very pointedly, I said adversity. I didn't say adversaries, because sometimes we have a hard time with that. But many of us understand when there are people who are just against you. Many times we want to use that as an excuse that we've done something, but sometimes spiritually they're just some folk against you. Verse 6, and her adversary, this is Hannah, and her adversary also provoked her sore. Now she was barren, yes, but provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Many times we have things that are not as we would want them, and they bother us a little. But then there is a time when people seem to jump on the bandwagon. They want to make things worse. She had an adversary. I know what it's like to have an adversary. And this adversary saw her weakness. She was the preferred wife, but she had a weakness. She had no children. And Penina had many children. We don't know how many, but we know she had sons and daughters. So that's at least four, right? You got to have two sons and two daughters would be sons and daughters. But she may have had more than that. But it says that Penina provoked her sore. I just want to dwell on that phrase for a little bit. Her adversaries worked at it, provoked her, poked her, prodded her. Did what they could to make her unhappy, to make her fret. And we can understand how that is. And as he did year by year when he went up the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept. I don't know if any of you have ever spilled tears over what adversaries have done to you. I know what that feels like. Amen. This is not just a little somebody get under your skin. She wept because of this circumstance. And that's what Penina was egging for. And Elkanah, her husband, then said he to her, why weep you? Why don't you eat? This is just getting to the point. She isn't eating. She is crying. Why is your heart grieved? That's why I said we've got adversity, we have adversaries, we have grief. This situation grieved her, but her adversaries provoked her to the point that she wept, she couldn't eat, and her husband just didn't get it. Sometimes the people around us may not always get how tough a situation is for us. Amen. Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? Shows how much he loved her. But she never answers, because while it was important for her to have the love of Elkanah, she wanted a son. She wanted sons. Okay, so Hannah, verse 9, rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, after they had drunk. Now, Eli the priest, we all know he was kind of a little wild card there, sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. See, I don't want to belabor these, but she's grieved of heart. She's bitter of soul. This is what adversaries can do to you. They find something that is a little troubling, but you could perhaps move on with it. You know, Elkanah, he was trying to encourage her in the midst of her sorrow, but there are other people who were provoking her to grieved in heart, bitter in soul. This is not just a little, you know, small thing. And this has gone on for years. Anyway, she was bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Then she vowed a vow in 11 and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of thy handmaid. See, we're talking. This is a month of being thankful. Thankful in the midst of adversity. Thankful in the midst of affliction. Thankful in the midst of grief. Thankful in the midst of sorrow. That in the midst of all these things, we will be thankful. Not just in spite of them, but we're going to get to the point we're thankful for them. Now, wait and see. Hold on with me. I want you to get to this point. Not just thankful that, well, she has a good life, she has a loving husband, well, God is good. No, she's thankful in spite, or not just in spite of, but she's going to get to the point to be thankful for her adversaries. Amen? Okay, and so she prays her prayer. It came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord. I want you to underline that phrase, continued praying. One of the things that will get you to the point of gratitude for your adversaries is just continue praying before the Lord. That Eli marked her mouth and Hannah spake in her heart. Amen. We spake in her heart before the Lord. Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart. Her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought she was drunken. Now, this gets worse. When you have something and you are grieved in heart, you are broken, you are, you know, weeping, you are bitter in soul, you are at that point, and even people who love you just can't seem to touch that thing. And here comes the man of God who ought to offer her a word of encouragement, but he accuses her of being drunk. And this is another point we need to be careful of, that we don't, in our virtue, in our self-righteousness, condemn faith as sin. It is easy enough to do, to see other people do things. We don't always understand it, but if you don't understand it, you don't have to judge it. This is also where it becomes difficult. When people are, something is going on in their lives and somebody else wants to judge it as a sin. Remember Job. Job was another person who was afflicted, wasn't he? And his buddies came and sat with him. You could tell they had a good heart for him. They sat with him in his pain. But then they opened their mouth. They were good counselors until they began to speak. God help us that not be us. And they began to prod and find out where he was in sin. Sometimes, as in with Hannah, she is praying and it looks like sin to the man of God. Sometimes, even though we love our men of God, we love our women of God, we love our prophets, we love our apostles, we love our pastors, we love those who watch over us, even they can be wrong. You can't let that shake you. He thought it was sin. And we have to be very, very careful that we don't judge. We never know until it's done, do we? Until it's over, it isn't over. Amen. So he continued. Remember Joshua with the battle. They were fighting the battle and they still needed more time to fight the battle. So God just made the sun stand still. God can do that for us, even when it looks like time is running out or other people. The man of God, the priest, judged her as a sinner. And then she explained, she said, "No, Lord, you know, it's because Nahanna spoke only in his heart. He thought she was drunken." Eli said, "How long will you be drunk? Put away your wine." And she said, "No, my Lord. I am a woman of sorrowful spirit." Again, I want you to feel her heartbreak in this. "I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink." In fact, remember, she wasn't even eating. "I've poured out, instead of pouring into the glass, I've poured out my soul. Count not your handmaiden for a daughter of the devil, but out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken." Again, out of the abundance of my complaint and grief. Remember, I told you one of the keys to this is just keep praying. Keep praying, keep praying. She spoke in her heart. She poured out an abundance of complaint and grief, but not to her neighbors, not on Facebook. She poured her heart out to the Lord. And then Eli answered. Even this guy who judged her wrong, God used him. Amen. I pray that people who have judged you wrong, it'll even be them that God uses to bless you, to speak words of life into you. And he encouraged her. Then Eli said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." Amen. So it goes on, and obviously we know that she has a child. The child becomes Samuel. Remember, she made a vow. Well, we got to keep our vows when we make them, that she would give him to the service of the Lord. But I want to go back to this being thankful for our adversaries. It's never a place that we want to enjoy of affliction, of grief, of sorrow, of sadness, of complaint and heartbreak. But I want us to go back to verse 6. This is the phrase that always sticks in my mind and why I wanted to share her story today. She had endured that for a very long time, hadn't she? Peninnah had continually prodded her and bothered her and troubled her over her complaint, her affliction, that she wanted children and had none, that she was barren. And Peninnah, who wasn't as honored, who wasn't as valued, who wasn't as precious, you know, kind of sight, yet she continued to produce offspring over and over again. But verse 6 says, and her adversary. I mean, the scripture says, for our adversary as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I'm not saying we look for trouble everywhere under the sun. I'm not saying we make excuses for where we've been wrong, etc. But there, we do have adversaries. But look what this adversary does. So far, well, we're thankful for God, but I'm not yet to the point of being thankful for my adversary, am I? Which is where we started with. To be thankful, we got to get to that point, and I promise you, we will. So Peninnah and her children had bothered her and continued to, make fun of her and make her miserable and make her unhappy. Verse 6 says, her adversary also provoked her sore. They see a weakness and they continue to pick at it, and all it does is break you down, break your heart, make you doubt yourself, make you feel, while God may be good, things are not good for you. But look what happened. This had been going on for quite some time. Do you mean to tell me that this is the first time that she prayed to the Lord about it? Of course not. Why? Here's my question. Why is it that now she comes to the point that God hears her prayer and gives her the promise of that child who turned out to be Samuel? Her adversaries provoked her, but they didn't provoke her to use foul language and get all mad and do bad things to her adversary, didn't provoke her to violence, didn't provoke her to meanness. It provoked her to faith. Amen. I didn't want to give you that as the title because I didn't want to tell you right away. I wanted you to see how heartbroken she was. But her adversaries provoked her to faith. When we see that, we can be grateful. We can be grateful for adversaries that don't provoke us to failure, to discouragement, to despair. They provoked her to faith. Finally, Penina went over the line, and when they were going up to give their offerings and to bless the Lord and be grateful for the year that had transpired and looking forward to the year that came, Hannah had nothing in her heart but sorrow and grief, did she? Bitterness of soul, brokenness of heart. And her adversary just provoked her just a little bit more, but this time it provoked her to faith. She poured out her heart. God saw the faith of her heart, and he responded by sending the priest, who even had been judgmental, and saying, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant you your petition, which you have asked of him." You see, Eli never even knew. He accused her of being drunk, and she said, "No, I'm just brokenhearted, and I'm praying to myself, you know, praying without words." And he said, "Whatever it is you've asked, you will have." See, people don't maybe even know what it is, but God used Eli to speak that word to her. Amen? He had been judgmental. He had been had slighted her, etc. But when she continued to pour out, remember, she just kept praying. She continued to pray. She continued praying. Verse 12, she continued praying before the Lord. And then first came that judgment that was unfair, but then came the promise that the Lord has heard your complaint, or, you know, has heard your heart, and that he will grant you your petition. Amen. And here I want to prove what I'm saying. I want you to understand, Hannah was heartbroken. Hannah was miserable. Hannah was just beyond it. And she had endured and she had endured and she had endured. But finally, her adversaries just went a little bit too far. Thank God when our adversaries go a little bit too far. Thank God when they provoke us, not to discouragement, but they provoke us to what? They provoke us to faith. And when she poured out her complaint, God heard her and answered her. Amen? So they provoked her to faith. And I want to prove this to you now, that where she ended up was better than where her adversaries were. Their adversaries thought they were sitting on top of everything. Penina was not the beloved wife, but the favored wife, in that she had so many children, and they all got their portions to give to the Lord. Amen. The inheritance was going to be divided among all of them. Amen. She had so many children. But now I want you to reflect for a moment, what were the names of Penina's children? We haven't really read this passage. We just kind of peeked through it in various verses. What were the names of Penina's children? Well, if you be honest, I know what you're thinking. You're scratching your head going, "I don't know." And you kind of want to quickly go back through your scriptures and see if you can find them. You can't. Not one of Penina's children are ever mentioned who they were. But now, Hannah only had one child, didn't she? She had, well, to begin with, it later says that once she had Samuel, it says later she had many other children. But the son that was of promise, the son that was given her, his name was what? Samuel. Now, I want to ask you briefly, if you didn't know any of the names of Penina's children, I want to ask you if you know any Samuels. Everybody knows Samuels. There are so many Samuels in history, so many Samuels in politics, so many Samuels in every form of information in our you know, around you. You probably went to school with some Samuels. You may have people in your family named Samuel. And there are people, there was Samuel Houston, there's Samuel Beckett, there is, so I mean, we can't even go through all the Samuels. So even though she had only one son to begin with, she had more children later, he was became the legacy of Hannah's child was so much greater. And Samuel, the man himself, the son she bore and raised to give to God, that Samuel became, this is just absolutely cool, the forerunner of Jesus. He became a type. He became an image of Jesus. How so? Samuel was of the one who was both priest and prophet. He was, and that's what Jesus was, priest and prophet. And he was the one that anointed the house of David, from which Jesus came. The Lion of the Tribe of Judah came from the house of David, and David was the king that was anointed by the prophet and the priest Samuel. Amen. So the son she bore was of great significance. Thank God that her adversaries provoked her to faith, because even though her avenue of getting there was so much more difficult, so much more traumatic, so much more trying, yet what those adversaries produced by provoking her to faith was something that is still in the earth. Amen. There are Samuels everywhere. And Jesus, the type of Samuel, was fulfilled in Jesus and still is among us. Amen. So that brings us then, once she had her son, when the child was young then, but she raised him till he was young and then gave him to the Lord as she promised. And it says later that she had more children after that. But Hannah starts chapter 2, I told you, is a song of thanksgiving. She prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in him. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation." There is a song of thanksgiving, not only over our adversaries, but because of our adversaries. Her adversary provoked her sore. We used to have a father in the Lord who would say about, you know, like about football, he said, "You can't stop people from kicking you, but you can determine which direction." And if they kick you over the goal line, if they kick you through the goalpost, amen, we score, don't we? So Penina, she couldn't stop Penina's provoking her. But instead of provoking her to despair and discouragement, it drove her to the house of God. She poured out her complaint. That was the other thing. We continue praying. Just speak in your heart to the Lord. No matter who says anything, no matter even if men and women of God judge you, you just continue pouring your heart out to the Lord. And she got to chapter 2. She got to her song of thanksgiving. Let's read on down. You just take your time and read through that whole thing, because it's absolutely beautiful, that she has a song in her heart now. Instead of bitterness in her heart, she has a song in her heart. Verse 10, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken. Amen. Whoever has set themselves up to provoke you, then let them provoke you to faith. Let them provoke you to speak in the word. Let them provoke you to belief. Let them provoke you to overcoming. The adversaries of the Lord, see, they thought, she thought it was her adversary, but truly they were adversary of the Lord. People may think, we may say, oh, that's the Lord's adversary. We can't say that. But my adversaries, I may find out when God vindicates me, that's because they were the Lord's adversaries. Amen? So verse 10 says that, then the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken. The Lord shall judge the ends. I like that. It's not even Eli. It's the Lord that will judge the ends of the earth. He shall give strength unto the king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Amen. So she went from adversity to anointing. We all know that Samuel was one of the most anointed of prophets that there were. She went from grief to glory. Praise the Lord. She started out just unhappy. She went from unhappy to miserable. She went from miserable to heartbroken, to grieved of spirit. And her adversaries continued to pick on her and pick on her and provoke her. But this time, they did. Here's my question on this. Let me look at this. It's not God that changed. God could have given her a son the first time she prayed, couldn't she? Couldn't he? But God didn't answer that way because she wasn't there yet. Her adversaries hadn't provoked her to that point of, oh, right now, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm looking to the Lord. The Lord will take care of this. There comes a point where we feel there's a difference between praying because we feel, and take, I don't mean this harshly, but we feel sorry for ourselves. We feel badly for ourselves. We have a complaint. We have a problem, and we may rehearse that and rehearse that before the Lord. But there's a point between that and pouring out our complaint before the Lord and saying, there now, it's your problem. I have poured it on you. You know, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. And then the Lord took up her complaint. The Lord answered her, didn't he? Amen. So her adversaries, while they meant to give her harm, they actually did her good because they provoked her to faith. Who knows, after Peninnah had one child, two children, why didn't she have that being provoked to faith then? God would have answered then. But sometimes it takes us a long time to get to that point when our faith just rises up, when our faith awakens. We may feel, you know, I think about the woman with the issue of blood. She needed healing for 12 years, yet it took her a while, didn't it, to get to that point. It took her a while to finally say, I don't care. I want the Lord to touch my affliction. Amen. And so we don't always know the whys and the wherefores, but as I look at this story, I'm grateful for her adversaries. Her adversary provoked her. So I decided the other day, I'm not going to feel badly for me or for them or for whatever. I'm just going to let whatever happens to me provoke me to faith, not to provoke me to retaliation, not provoke me to unkindness, but provoke me to faith. God, you see how they have talked. You see what they've complained. You see what they say. Now, Lord, doesn't that sound like passage to scripture to us? Now, Lord, you see. I think about the first century church. That's how they prayed. Lord, see what all they've done. Maybe I'll just turn there real quickly. I wasn't planning on doing this, but okay, why not? The book of Acts, I'm sure I can find it pretty quickly. The book of Acts. This would probably have been a good passage of scripture for this message as well, but sometimes things don't come to me as fast. So they were after the day of Pentecost, and then they were growing more and more, and they had great miracles, but then drove a great persecution to the church, didn't there? Be it known unto you this day. Okay, let me see where he says it. You know, behold the church, behold their threatenings, Lord. I can't find it, but you know where it is. Behold their threatenings, Lord. And now grant to your servants what? More boldness, that we may speak the word as we ought. I love that passage of that prayer, because what happens is that they took their complaint to the Lord, and they see, now Lord, see what they're doing. Behold this, right? And then they prayed. So behold their threatenings, and grant us what? Not grant us a safe hiding place, not grant us a way out, grant us more boldness to speak. Your enemies can provoke you to hide or to overcome. They can provoke you to disappointment or to anointing. She went from adversity to anointing. She went from grief to glory. It doesn't always work this way. I'm not saying that, but I just thought today we wanted to look at being thankful for our adversaries, because sometimes they make the battle so plain, so clear. This is a battle of faith. We hold our peace as with Moses, and let the Lord fight our battles. Amen. God will deal with your adversaries. Let your adversaries provoke you to that point where the Lord must take up your issue. That's what Peninnah did. Peninnah provoked Hannah to faith. And when she did, she was the overcomer. Her child, Samuel, was held up as an example for centuries, for generations. We still study Samuel's life, that we may understand how a man of God should be, how he should conduct himself. Excuse me. Samuel is the example for us. While Peninnah's children languish in anonymity. You can go from anonymity to anointing. From grief to glory. I am thankful today for my adversaries, that they may provoke me to faith, that the glory of God may be revealed in me and in my life. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, none of us want to choose adversity. None of us want to choose adversaries. But if they are in our life, we ask you, Father, let them provoke us to faith. Let them provoke us to glorifying you. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this week we may see in us a heart of thanksgiving for everything that touches us, because we know that you can work through anything. You can work through those who love us. You can work through those who set themselves up against us. For truly, we will be like Hannah and have a song of rejoicing in our heart. Thank you for the generations that have been grateful to Hannah for having that faith that was provoked by her adversaries. Give us that same understanding, how we can be more grateful, even for those things that look hard and distasteful to us, because in the end, greatness shall come from grief. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great week. Have an overcoming week. Have a joyful week. In Jesus' name. God bless.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him alone I live.
Thank you for joining God in the Myth, Get 'Em Radio's Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures. Enjoy the entire family of Get 'Em Radio broadcasts by calling 619-639-4733. That's 619-639-4733. Now, mark your calendar and set your cell phone alarms. Lunch with Lorraine, Discovering God's Hidden Treasures, is aired every Monday at lunchtime, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. Prophetic Healing with Elder Philip Parkey is on the second Wednesday of every month, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the Thursday edition of God in the Mist airs every Thursday at 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can listen to all these broadcasts as they air by calling 619-639-4733. When you have an opportunity, Google Get 'Em Radio. That's GITM Radio. And listen to this broadcast in its entirety, as well as all of Get 'Em Radio's on demand archives. As you listen to our archives, click the follow button and you will get a reminder via email of all our upcoming episodes. You may contact us at getemradio@gmail.com or call us at 903-776-4486. We'd love to hear from you. Also, meet us on Facebook at God in the Mist, M-I-D-S-T, and like us because we like you too. Have a blessed rest of the day.
I have found a priceless treasure that the world can never give. I have found a precious Savior, and for Him